So today we're going to continue the series and look at something else that really could blow up our agape. We can't let it blow up our agape. And I think so many of us understand this topic. It will resonate in some way, shape, or form with everybody. I think there's a spectrum before I really get to it. You should know, I think that just like grudges, there's a spectrum of how wide this topic can be. And if we were really going to do it justice, we would spend several weeks just on this and looking at the scriptures. There's all kinds of scriptures for us to work from, expositorily or topically. It's a big topic. I'd like to look at anxiety today. And I think that a number of us understand that. Probably, again, all of us understand it in some level. On one side of anxiety is we have people who just get distressed. The tensing up of moments in life, the tensing up of times. But sometimes that tensing up turns into an anxiety that can be very, very, very debilitating. Statistically, 35% or so of you in the room have had debilitating anxiety. This is not something that there's one person over there. This is a really big deal. So how do we navigate it? What do we do? Whether we're on the distress side or the other side where it's very debilitating, where we freeze or our mind doesn't do what it needs to do in the moment, or sometimes our mind tries to figure out, but we panic and we have heart problems or palpitations. We can black out. All kinds of things can occur on this other side. What do we do? Anxiety. Okay. Hate when you leave that one thing over there. Do you know it's a lot of fun to do? Carol knows. I'm picking on Carol, but I'm going to tell you something that's a lot of fun to do. If you ever get the remote during service, you find somebody in the room and you put the laser on them. If you do it on our security team, they really panic. Why is there a red dot on me? Why is there a red dot? Last week during service, I was sitting in my row and there was poor Carol sitting over here. She's the lovely lady in the purple sweater, and she was sitting down and paying attention, fully focused on what was happening. So I put the laser on her hands, and she's doing this. And it went on and on and on, and I could not stop laughing. It was not a holy time for me. Please don't let your children get lasers, okay? Because who knows what'll happen. Let me move up a little bit here. Why did we lose a whole verse? Whoa, I really went back there, didn't I? Should we sing together? Feels like we keep going to the same tune. Now, David, do you see the problem back there? The problem is it left off a whole verse. So we're going to give him just a half sec, and if that doesn't work out, we're going to move on and act like Moses. All right, we're going to move on. Matthew 6. If you had the time, if we took the time, I didn't take the whole passage today, but Matthew 6 and these verses from 25 to through the mid-30s, the Lord speaks very clearly about anxiety. Don't be anxious for these things. Don't be anxious. And, you know, anxiety, again, whether it's on one side where we're talking about just being distressed, tense, we recognize that something's a problem, or it's the other side where there's a full-blown issue, the scriptures are very clear, and we can walk through. If we really took the time, we could walk through and we can look at all kinds of sources and causes, issues with anxiety. But I want to put, whoa, what's happening here? David, let's just not even, and that's okay. All right, so what I want to pull out is that anxiety in and of itself has zero value for our life. And I know this is an obvious thing, but it's a lot like grudges, where somebody can have a mental garden of anxiety and they water it and they keep feeding it. But there's no value to feeding it any more than there is a grudge. You like that? I'm just diving into it. Some people have anxiety and they're just, it's almost like a warm comfort blanket. And if you know, if that's you, you know what I mean. Some of you don't, hey, praise God, you don't know what I mean. But it can be a very comforting thing. And I just want to call out, it's not a good thing. There is no value to anxiety. There is no good value whatsoever. And if we went through again in Matthew 6, you would see some of these things. Go back, read Matthew 6, starting in from 25 through 34, 35, I believe, in this whole segment, and look at that there's no value to it. And there's a calling out to it. There's nothing that goes on. There's, what do we get from anxiety? For example, life is worth more than being anxious. The Lord takes care of us. Our life is worth so much more than the issues that we have in the day. We could have problems. I don't know where my food is going to come from. I don't know what I need clothes. You know, I don't know how to fix my car. And the Lord's saying very clearly in Matthew, it's more. Life is more than wondering about those things. I will take care of you, he says. That doesn't always mean wants, but it does mean needs. He will take care of our needs. Sometimes, you know, there's people who probably, and this is, I think, an important thing here to look at how we recognize wants versus needs. I think on one end of the needs, I think of people who have been martyred for the faith. People thrown in the Colosseum, you know. I wonder if they wondered how the Lord was going to take care of their needs. Or if they really just understood that the Lord was going to take care of their needs even into the afterlife. Because sometimes our needs aren't here in this life, how he meets them, it's in the afterlife. As believers, we're called from anxiety, verse 32. He says, don't do it. Don't be anxious. Sometimes people look at that as an end-all, be-all, fix verse. They say, don't be anxious. Okay, I'm not going to be anxious. But the reality is it takes time to get over anxiety, doesn't it? But the point of that verse is he calls us from it. It's not supposed to be our identity. It's not supposed to be a warm blanket. It's supposed to be something we leave behind. The world, people who don't follow the Lord, can't leave it behind in the same way that believers can leave it behind. That's another segment of that verse. And finally, he knows what we actually need. And again, I spoke to this earlier. He knows what we actually need. We know what we want. He knows what we need. You know what I want? I've said this pretty clearly. I want to be a middle linebacker for the Packers. I would love it. They call me. Excuse me, I'm not going to be here next weekend. I've got a game. And you would turn on TV, and you would watch me score 6 defensive touchdowns. It would be amazing. But you get my point. He knows what we need. We look at another verse. We kind of move through this. If we would... Is that right, David? Is that the second one? Huh. Yes, yes, it is. Okay. Here's another passage. This is Matthew 13. So Matthew 6 is all these breakdowns. We could spend hours truly going through Matthew 6 on everything to avoid with anxiety. Matthew 13 is another view of looking at this. Now he who receives, this is part of a parable, by the way. And the parable is, you know, there's seeds, and I'm just going to say, imagine seeds in our life, you know, and when seeds are dropped, they go on different kinds of soil. It can be good soil, and the seeds take hold, and they grow. It can be rocks, which we know seeds on rocks don't stand much of a chance. There's seeds on thorny ground. And it's this thorny ground that's so interesting to me today because it fits with our message. In verse, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So in other words, seed goes down and there's thorns. What is the thorns? It's the cares of the world. That word cares literally translates in the original language to anxiety. So here's somebody, here's a good message, but the worries in the world make them anxious over the value of the message. They squanch out the message. They make them anxious. And so often there's people who will come in, and I'll hear this, they'll come in, they'll say, hey, you know, I appreciate that message today, but I don't know. Let go of the anxiety. Anxiety is a big deal. All through the scriptures, we see people who kind of were challenged with these sorts of things themselves. Jacob returns home. If we look in the original word, he's distressed, but he's on that spectrum of anxiety. It connects to that same type of anxiety. Jacob returns home. His brother Esau, he and Esau had departed not in good ways. When they departed, Esau wanted to kill him after their father passed away. And so now Jacob, years later, is returning home and he doesn't know what to do. He's distressed. The scripture says, greatly distressed. I would think so. If you know somebody wants to kill you, wouldn't you be greatly distressed? I think in our language today, we would say anxiety over family issues. How's that? Anybody ever had anxiety over family issues? Just about everybody in the room, I think, has had anxiety over family issues. Hannah is distressed. She's distressed. She wants a baby. It's a heart want. It's a mother's want. And she was in the temple praying for a baby. And there's something to her heart. She was distressed. She wanted it so badly. And I believe it's a mother's heart. So badly she wanted to have a baby. I think there are, and this may be a strange thing for you men, but I'll tell you, there are a number of women who have the same prayers. Martha is working. Martha's working. So the story is, Yeshua is in there. He's teaching. He's got just a close group. This is not a group of hundreds. This is a close group. They're sitting around and they're listening to him share and do what he's sharing. Mary's in there. She's listening. But Martha's working like a dog, being a good hostess, taking care of friends and family. He sits her down. Hey, Martha, just pay attention. This is good stuff. Those are my words, not Yeshua's. But it's that concept. Stop what you're doing. She's distressed. She's anxious over being a good hostess. And maybe we would say, maybe it's being having entertaining. Maybe it's a social anxiety. Maybe that's one way of saying it. Maybe it's an anxiety about work. Anybody ever get anxiety over work? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, right? But also social situations. This is one of the big ones in 2026. Social anxiety is massive. I don't need to go into explain the details of what anxiety is, do I? It's colossal. There are studies coming out right now of how bad our anxiety has spiked since 2010. This is a fascinating thing. So I want to talk about it, but I want to do it in context to how to deal with anxiety. And that's just the rest of our message. How do we deal with it? First, I love this verse. I really do love it. This is one as a kid. It stressed me out as a kid because I thought I could lose my hand someday, you know, or I could lose my, I never did understand it as a little boy. Isn't that a funny memory? But now I look at it and I go, yeah, thank you, God. This is a really good verse for me to get my head around. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. Look at the consequences. If we're doing something that's causing problems, let's stop. Are you with me? This is not rocket science, but a lot of people struggle with this. They don't want to stop what's giving them anxiety. They keep going back to it. If we are going through some challenges and it's something that's causing the challenges, let's stop doing the something. You know, Yeshua didn't only say it once in Matthew to cut off your hand if there's a problem. He said it twice in Matthew to cut off your hand. This is a really big deal. So if you want to deal with anxiety in your life and you know there is a source, break the source. Break it. If you come to me after service and say, yeah, I know the source, but I don't want to give it up, I'm not going to have anything for you. You know, there's another verse in Proverbs. A fool returns his folly, or, you know, a fool keeps going back to the same problem over and over again, like a dog returns to vomit. Stay away from the vomit in your life. What do you think? I got a dog in my house. It's nasty when the dog goes back. It is. It's nasty. I'm yelling at her. Lulu! Lulu! We have to stay away. And the reason why I want to start off our list of how we deal with anxiety in this topic is because we're finding more and more and more, and the studies are stacking up. There's lots and lots of evidence that are telling us where our anxieties are coming from. Now, there's always been anxiety. And there's always been stressors. There's always been things in life that people have had to navigate. Those people in the Bible, they had issues in their day, just like us. We have issues. But there is this one thing that is complicating our lives here in 2026 that they didn't have back then. I suppose it's one thing dependent on another thing. You know what it is? It's that cell phone of ours. In 2010, the first cell phone came out with a camera. In 2012, most homes in America had the camera in their cell phone. And this is fascinating to me. That's the start of the big push and the increase of anxiety, and anxiety that leads to depression, depressive anxiety. A big push. So for that 10-year window from 2012 to 2022, anxiety and depression, that whole journey of anxiety and depression in young women went up 141%. 141%. That number is almost hard to get our head around. 141%. Men were 161%. It's the camera. Isn't that wild? It's not just the cell phone. It's the camera. Because it changed how they looked at things. The internet, of course, social media is all part of it. But the camera, people would look at pictures. I don't know why people take pictures of food. I'm not saying it's bad. If you do, keep doing it, you know. People like to take pictures of food. And think of the other people who don't know what that kind of food tastes like. Oh, I can't afford that. What's wrong with me? Self-image stuff. It really exploded. They started to think, and there's all kinds of studies that say this, people look down on themselves. They can't afford that. They don't have access to those types of things. They can't take that one vacation like so-and-so did and posted all their pictures. They can't see this stuff. The cell phones and the internet and social media, it's crazy what it's done to lives. But it's not just those two age generations. People 18 to 25, this is according to Jonathan Haidt, who did a bunch of studies in this back in that era, which is only a few years ago. People 18 to 25, their anxiety to depression, that spectrum went up 140%. That's not a gender thing. That's 18 to 25. This is not children. You know, there's a lot of people who think, well, in fact, there's legislation starting to pop up in some cities in America, or school districts and other countries are saying if you're under 16, you shouldn't have screen time, or you should have less screen time. But this is age 18 to 25. This has nothing to do with the 16-year-olds. These are young adults. Ages 26 through 34, anxiety depression spectrum went up 103%. Ages 35 and 49 went up 52%. Now, we're a few years out of this. This is 2022. This means people in their 50s are still reeling from these challenges. They are plugged into social media. They've got their cell phone. They're looking at pictures. They're seeing what they don't have. They've been victims of bullying, or maybe they're just addicted to the technology. You know, there's all kinds of studies that show if you look at a blue screen, like our cell phones are created to be this kind of bluish background, it makes our sleep challenging. It affects our sleep. So here's somebody who works so hard to watch themselves, and they eat well and they exercise well, and then they go on their cell phone and they blow up their life because they're not sleeping anyway. It's a really terrible thing. When somebody is addicted, like any other addiction, it can affect thought patterns, self-image, shame can come. A lot of people, it's not simple anxiety anymore where it's just being stressed. It's the complexity of all of these things now, because maybe there's an addiction on top of not being able to have something in life, being able to see what other people have. Maybe it's an addiction on top of a different issue that's coming up from it, from a social media account. Maybe it's an addiction on top of social bullying, social media bullying. Social media bullying is not just for children, by the way. It's for all kinds of people. By the way, people over 50, now this is really a telling statement, people over 50 in 2022, their anxiety and depression went down. Not because they turned off their phones, because they don't have much on the internet. I know people, and some of you in the room, you still have a flip phone. or you don't even know how to use your camera and send somebody the picture. So what's this? You know, these things. But just know, if you're in that bucket, that everybody else who's not in that bucket has got challenges to their ears. It's a big deal. So I want to go back to this point of this verse here. If your foot hand causes you to stumble, or your foot, cut it off. Reinvent how you use your technology. I'm not saying don't use technology. Reinvent how you do it. Limit your social media. Not to like 6 hours a day. Limit it to 20 minutes a day. See if you miss anything big. Well, I couldn't get away with 20 minutes. Sure you can. You have to decide what you want. I can't tell you how to limit it, but I want you to think, how can I limit it? Stop looking at your screen before bed. Buy an alarm clock. This is a radical thing for some of you. So what happens when you use your phone as your alarm clock? Your friend texts you. You're trying to sleep. What do? Right? Buy an alarm clock. You know, we used to live in a society that we had alarm clocks. It was crazy. I don't even know how we did it back then without a phone. It was nuts. But we managed to live as a whole society. Buy an alarm clock. It will break your phone at the night. You can get away from it at night. Do things in your life that separate you from what's causing you to stumble. Let's say anxiety is not technology driven. Let's say anxiety is your job. Do you know you can put together a resume? It's just a job. Let's say anxiety is who you hang out with. Do you know you can find other friends? Let's say anxiety is, you get the idea, right? All of these things are free. Do something about it. Number two. We're going to try it again, see if it works. What's happening? It's giving me anxiety. It's good, John. It's giving you anxiety. It's giving me anxiety. I'm going to try to read this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. You know, this gentleness is talking about is an agape-driven gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. This is one of these verses. People who suffer with real anxiety will read it and they'll say, I know the Bible says don't be anxious, but I can't just turn it off. It's not like you read this magic verse and all of a sudden, poof, your anxiety goes away. But it's the rest of the verse. Well, the rest of the verse, that's the key part. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that's the part I want to focus on. Kylie, don't even change it. I think we're almost in the home stretch now. So, if you suffer with anxiety, with the verse is saying, through prayer, done with thanksgiving. Don't just go to the Lord and kvetch. Go to the Lord and recognize His goodness. This goodness thing is huge. We know that gratitude, studies are telling us that gratitude squanches anxiety. The two can't exist together. It's impossible to be anxious and thankful. We can't do it. So when you're struggling with some anxiety, pray, ask the Lord to get you through what you're doing, but do it in a way that He designed. Be thankful for the things He's done in your life and start to look for those. There was a real stretch of time where sleep was a challenge for me for all kinds of reasons. And I would wake up, you know, in the middle of the night all, you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you're flying, you know, you're going 100 miles an hour when you wake up. You've got to get stuff done, things to do, and can't believe we take time to sleep kind of attitude. And if this is terrible, and I would lay in bed, God, what's wrong? I got to sleep, make me sleep. You know, and you know what I mean. And at one point I started to thank the Lord. I would, as long as I'm laying in bed anyway, I would just, oh Lord, you know, you got me a nice bed. Thank you for a nice bed. I can't believe I can't sleep, but I'm grateful for my bed and I'm grateful for the condo I lived in at the time. And I'm grateful that I had food and I'm grateful that I had clothes and that I had a job to worry about. And I'm grateful, you understand what I'm talking about. I fell asleep. I woke up again. I went through it again. I'm in a different night. I was just grateful again. I mean, genuinely grateful. I started to think as I was laying there, what else has God done? What else has he done? And I started to think, and I fell asleep. And another night, and then I did it again, and I fell asleep. It's amazing. About 2 months ago, I was laying in bed, and I was really razzled up about something, and I woke up at around 1 in the morning, you know. And I'm trying my thankful exercise, and it's not doing it. I'm just getting more and more frustrated by whatever. And so I got up, and I left the bedroom. This is the only time I've ever had to do this. And I sat down on my couch, and I started to thank him on my couch. I made it more of a formal process, and I just got tired. I got droopy, and I marched back to bed, and I flopped in. It was great. I still don't want to wake up any more than you want to wake up. But the key is when we are anxious to pray, seek the Lord with the problem and thank him for being Lord. You don't have to know everything he's doing on earth. I don't have to know everything. And that actually makes me thankful. God, I'm so grateful that I don't have to know what you're doing. I don't think I can handle it. Amen? But we focus on this to this. Prayer, Lord, help. And I'm so grateful that I can seek you. And you put your words in there. It's like roulette, isn't it? It's like multimedia roulette. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is the third in our list. Let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing. Here we are, we're meeting together. One will sing. Another will teach. Another will tell some special revelation God has given. One speak in tongues, another to interpret what is said. But everything that is done must be done to strengthen you. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, I put that in there as a reference that says, don't forsake the assembly of saints, believers, as some are in the habit of doing. Some people, they come if they come. Don't do it. They find excuses to stay home. Oh, my elbow hurts. I couldn't possibly drive there. Whatever their excuse is, they make them up. They can't come to services. Don't do it. When we come together, there's going to be singing. There's going to be a word. There's going to be encouragement. Here at Beth Messiah, there's going to be Oneg. There's going to be these things. If we're struggling with something, if we're on the distress spectrum or anxious at any point in our life, the scriptures are very clear. Don't stop going to services, regardless of where you're at in life. We need each other. So remember earlier, I went through those studies that talked about addiction, people who are addicted to technology, or they have other challenges in life, or maybe they're not sleeping at night. And of course, we know when you don't sleep, how that does to our thinking, takes away good judgment, all right? It makes us edgy. Our self-image goes down. We feel a loss of identity from those types of things that we struggle through. Those devices or those stress, anxiety things that we have in life can take away and erode a sense of who we are, erode a sense of confidence and boldness that we need to make decisions. Do you know what studies also tell us is the way to get them back is to join community? No devices, get away from the problems and join a healthy community. We are a healthy community. We are a place to go. If somebody is going through something in life, come here. Have people who are just normal, healthy people speak into your life. Sometimes they make a statement like, I'm so glad to see you. That might be the only time all week anybody says they're glad to see you. So come and hear someone say that. Don't say it if you don't mean it, by the way. Is that fair? We come here because we're taught a healthy word. The scriptures are always healthy. We come here because we have good songs to sing of the Lord, and they're well led. We come here because our children have the same opportunities in their classes, Shabbat school and nursery. This is why we come. Now, if somebody says, well, I have a problem with anxiety, what does that have to do with it? Come here anyway. What do you think? There are people who, they loop this anxiety drain. You know what I mean? They keep going around and around in the drain of anxiety. And it just sucks the life out of them. And they get to services when they get to services. If they would get involved and be here from start to finish every Shabbat, unless sick or, you know, on vacation, whatever. If they're here all the time, it is amazing in the long run how that changes their mind. It really is amazing. And it's not my design. I'm not saying it because I'm the rabbi here at Beth Messiah. I'm saying it because the Word says it. The Lord says it. This is His design. There is value for us being together. It's not just services and Oneg. They change us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell in these things. What you have learned and all you have received and heard and seen in me, put these into practice, and the God of Shalom, peace. This is a different kind of peace. It's not peace like cessation of fighting. It's peace that everything is right inside. He'll be with you. The God of that kind of peace will be with us. Put on these things. Now, here's my point in this. This is my final point for dealing with anxiety. Recognize sometimes it takes time. It's a change of mindsets. We take our minds and we dwell on what is good of God. We dwell in what He wants us to do. We dwell on our identity. Wednesday night, the ladies are starting John mentioned it earlier, ladies, Havarah group is meeting on Wednesday nights, and I think this is their first, but they're going through a book called In His Image, and it's just about the identity that we have as believers, as followers of the Lord. So they're going to go through this book and learn about identity. The more we understand identity in Him, the less we get anxious about things. It's a journey. We walk away from our old identity of ourself and the world and all those things the teacher said. I'm the kind of guy, I remember if my teacher said that, you know, I had messy handwriting. And I think back that, oh man, she put a bad seed in my mind way back then. My identity in Him is just do the best you can. It's a very different identity. By the way, I do have messy handwriting. Joey, this book is for you. After service. How's that for an announcement, huh? But it takes a journey sometimes to get through the really hard things in life. You may have had distress or anxiety in that spectrum anywhere for years on a certain topic. Years, years, years. Sometimes it takes years to unwind. But keep leaning into the Lord. He doesn't want us to walk in anxiety. He doesn't want us to have it. We're not made to carry it. He did not structure us to carry it. And God Himself has said, leave it behind. We just trust Him. We break off from the old. We come to services, right? We trust Him that He's going to get through. And we continue to wrap our minds around who He is and who He says we are. And that's how we get through anxiety. It is not an identifier. And again, if I could say any one thing, please, please break away from what gives you anxiety. There was a little girl, there was a man who was flying in an airplane, and he was sitting next to an unaccompanied child. You know, sometimes you can have a child's 10 years old or whatever, they can fly in an airplane, they go cross country. So this man is sitting next to this little girl, and somewhere around 10 years old, and the plane hits turbulence, and it's really bad turbulence, and it's the kind that people are very upset. The masks come down, you know, and some people have put them on, some people are sitting, and the plane is jolting, and there's a lot of fear, and people all around are panicking. Some are crying and some are praying, and you can picture the scene in the airplane, except for this little girl. She's trying to look out the window, and she's looking at the people around her. She's having a great time, and this man can't figure out what's going on. And so eventually the plane lands. They do make it down, okay, and the plane lands. And the man asked her, he said, so I noticed you weren't upset in the, you know, it was bumpy there. You weren't upset. And she said, oh, no, I'm not upset. My dad's the pilot. How about this? I'm not upset. God is in charge. God is in charge. And it works itself out, doesn't it? When we think we're in charge, We had a lot of room for anxiety. When we lean into him, we have no room for anxiety. So it's a process. Hang in there. Be gracious with yourself. Please stand up. We'll pray. Then after service, I'll be getting a group of us together with baseball bats and taking out the computer. Thank you, Lord God, for this house. We are grateful. We are grateful for everything you do in our life. Lord, so much of it, of course, is identity. You tell us to think on these things that are good and lovely. Lead us more. Teach us more of you. Teach us more good and lovely things to think on. I pray for anybody here really struggling with anxiety or depression, God. They know who they are. Help them feel no shame. Help them realize that you're moving in their life and that you will heal. Thank you again for everything that you do. Thank you for being our Lord, our God, our King. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliyecha v'yunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed. There's some prayers here, right down here with lanyards. Down the hall, there's oneg coffee and food, fellowship, there's schmooze everywhere.